It was a person that had a New Testament, and they read it, and they read it, and read it, and they wore it out. They wore the cover off of it. So they sent it off to a bindery to be rebound. And, of course, the front of it, like this one, it said the New Testament, okay? Now, when he got it back, it had a nice new leather cover on it, but they didn't have room to put the New Testament on the back, so they just abbreviated it, TNT, which, of course, is the abbreviation for dynamite. But if we really believe the gospel is true, and we really believe that God can save people, and God can save lives, then the message of the Bible is dynamite, folks. Now, Isaiah 53:1, I don't ordinarily do a message on a single word or a single verse, but this is an exception. Next month, we're going to look at Christmas and missions, and we're also going to look at by his stripes we are healed, because I really want to get into, is there healing in the atonement? Oh, you don't have enough faith. That's why you're sick. Oh, you don't have enough faith. Jesus doesn't want anybody sick. I'm tired of hearing that. And I want to deal with it because that's where they get it from. Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. And Peter clearly says that that's a reference to dealing with sin and the spiritual life. I don't know how it can be taken so wildly out of context. So we're going to work our way to that in Isaiah 53. But look at Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What's the report? It's about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He looked like a plain person. Wasn't the handsomest man in the world. He didn't win The Bachelor on TV. Didn't win any beauty contests. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now let's stop there. Who hath believed our report? Now this is so important. It's a great question. Who's going to believe us? Who's going to believe the gospel? All right? Jesus quotes this verse in John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. That's Jesus quoting this verse in Isaiah. Paul quotes it. Romans 10, verses 16 and 17. For they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isaiah complains about the lack of faith. He saw that Israel would not accept Jesus as their Messiah. Israel rejected the message, and Israel refused to believe. Who hath believed our report? Now, I want to talk about three things this morning, and then we're going to go home. All right, let you out early last week, so don't get a big head about that. But we're going to work through this and be out of here. Number one, I want to talk about the report of the prophet. Jesus is witnessing through Isaiah. Isaiah is painting a picture of the suffering and death of Jesus. We're going to look at Christmas time on prophecies of Jesus concerning from Isaiah. We're going to look at all the verses in Isaiah that deal with the prophecy of Jesus. Who hath believed our report, which insinuates that it's our report. We've been saved. We got a message to share. And we're supposed to be reporting to people. that there is a God and that he's real. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To believe is to have faith. The report is our message. It's personal, our. You know, the Jews didn't believe. They wouldn't believe. You remember rich man and the poor man Lazarus? And the rich man lifted up his eyes and he said, go send someone to my brothers and tell them so they don't end up in hell with me. And he said, even if someone rose from the dead, they won't believe. And someone did rise from the dead, and no, they don't believe, right? So there are two reports. Gentlemen, would you take that outside, please? There are two reports. There's a false report. There's a false gospel, guys. There's a gospel that says, oh, all the gospel is let's be nice to people. Jesus said, God is love. Let us love one another. And anytime you say something bad about somebody, well, you must not be a Christian. That wasn't very loving. Well, I'm sorry, but sin is sin and wrong is wrong. And there are crooked people in politics and there are evil people in the world. And sometimes we don't say nice things about some people. But you're not a very good Christian. You're not loving. The gospel of love, which is a false gospel because the gospel is everybody's a sinner and needs to believe in Jesus. There's the social gospel. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. Inasmuch as you have done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And that's all we should be doing as a Christian is meeting the social needs of people. I remember when I was a college student, the pastor of Riverside Church came and spoke, Dr. Campbell. And he quoted that. What should the church be doing? And it wasn't preaching the gospel. It wasn't winning sinners to Christ. It was feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick. And I raised my hand, you know, stupid me. I spoke up. You know, here's a world famous guy, pastor of Riverside Church in New York City. I said, excuse me, but isn't that the sheep and goat judgment that happens at the end of the world? And he just looked down his nose at me and said, well, some people take it that way. That's the way I take it, okay? Reinhold Niebuhr, I consider a liberal, but he summed up liberalism when he was teaching as a God without wrath and anger brought men who were not sinners into a kingdom without judgment through the ministry of a Christ without a cross. That's the social gospel. And then there's the gospel that, oh, Jesus was a good man and we just need to be good people, okay? Jesus was a good man and we need to be good people and love one another. You know, F.B. Meyer, the great Baptist pastor in Bristol, England, was concerned about poor people, concerned about people in society. It was once said of the ministry of F.B. Meyer, he supported every effort to get a man out of the slum, but he was more concerned to get the slum out of the man. Man's first and great need is to be born again, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only power that can give a man a new heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to come out and give out food stamps. No. He sent his only begotten Son to give everybody free telephone. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why should we believe? Because the prophet's reporting it, because of the arm of the Lord. You know, the right arm is the strong arm in the Bible. The arm of the Lord revealed it. Strength and power in Isaiah 52:10, right across the page. The Lord hath bared his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of heaven shall see the salvation of our God. The report of the prophet, there's a requirement to believe. You just don't fall into the kingdom of heaven. You just don't end in heaven by mistake. We have to believe. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Why do people reject Jesus? And obviously, most people have. Number one, they love the world. The things of this world are more important than the spiritual things, and that's what the message was all about this morning. What was the message? I have too much to gain to lose. All right. Ego, their lack of will. I don't want to. I know that there's a God. I know. We'll talk about that next week. I know there's a God. Well, the devil does too. So you've got devil faith. Interesting. Some people are at devil faith level. Okay. Oh, I just don't want to. It'd mess up my life. I'd have to have someone else run my life besides me. Lack of true appreciation for what Jesus did on the cross. Some people don't realize how deep they are in sin. You know, some people sing the song, I was sinking deep in sin, whee! Because they're having a good time in it. Right? Losing sight of real happiness. There's a difference between the happiness of the world and the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Looking for people's approval. Well, my friends aren't saved. My friends are going to hell, and I want to be with my friends, so I want to be with my friends in hell. How stupid is that? I had someone tell me that a couple months ago. Well, I don't want to go to heaven because none of my friends are going to be there, so I'm going to go with all my friends to hell. And if you don't change your attitude, they probably will. And then there are people that are laboring to earn it. Oh, I got to be good enough. I got to work hard enough. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to clean up this. I got to clean up that before God can save me. And we know that's not true because God takes us just as I am. People have a problem with unbelief. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, for all men have not faith. Matthew 13:58, he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Sometimes we don't believe God can do things, and so he doesn't. Unbelief. Luke 22:67, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And Jesus said, I would tell you, but you wouldn't believe it. John 12:37, though he had done many miracles before them, yet they believed not. Now, in the Bible, one of the problems with unbelief is that you don't believe and you don't believe and you keep on don't believing until your heart gets hard. The hardening of the heart is a real issue in the Bible. Psalm 95:8, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall. And in the Greek New Testament, poroo, to make hard, to become calloused. How many of you ever had a callous? It's tougher than regular skin, isn't it? There's some people that have a calloused heart because they keep putting God off. So the word harden can mean calloused, but it can also mean to petrify. Some of you have seen petrified wood, wood that turned to stone. Some of you may have visited the petrified forest, okay? The word means to petrify, to callous. And you and I both know people that have petrified hearts. It's sad. Mark 6:52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves of bread, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was petrified. Mark chapter 8 uses this word. Mark 8:17-18. Jesus knew it. He said to them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet been hardened? Petrified, having eyes you see not, having ears you hear not, and you do not remember. That's to the crowd of 5,000 people that he fed the loaves of bread. The heart of man naturally is against God, but the heart of God is naturally for people, and we forget that. The report of the prophet, who hath believed our report, the requirement to believe, you have to believe to be saved. What are the results of redemption? 1 Peter 1:18, for you have not been saved, you have not been redeemed by silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Number one, when you and I got saved, we got instant, immediate blessing. John 5:24, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me is passed from death into life." That happened right away. That happened when we were born again. We get our sins pardoned. Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath God separated our transgressions from us." We got our guilt dealt with. And one of the biggest issues in counseling, and John will tell you that, one of the biggest issues in counseling is guilt, real guilt and false guilt. A lot of times we feel guilty for things we shouldn't feel guilty for, but some people just feel guilty because they've been trained to feel guilty. Okay, then you have the real guilt. Tim LaHaye used to say to people, they said, "Well, I feel guilty." He says, "Well, you feel guilty because you are." You need to get God to forgive you. But there's real guilt. But Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We get peace in our hearts. God is the only one that can give real peace in our hearts. We can have calm in our lives. We can have calm in our house. We can have calm at the job or wherever. But real peace deep down in our hearts only comes from God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what else? We have eternal reward. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Vance Havner said one time, we can never be blessed until we learn that we bring nothing to Christ but our need. Once we show up to Jesus and express to him how needy we are and how much we need him, then he responds to us and he blesses us. One of the great stories of saving someone's life is in the life of Winston Churchill. When he was a little boy, the Churchill family, Lord Churchill took his family on a vacation, and the boys were swimming in a lake, and Winston was young. This is, you know, mid to late 1800s. He's swimming in a lake, and he starts drowning. And one of the boys in the village jumps in and saves him, drags him to shore, saves his life from drowning. And because the boy saved Winston's life, Lord Randolph Churchill said, "I would like to pay your way through school." And so he sent money to the family so the boy could go to college, go to university, get an education. During World War II, Winston Churchill met with Stalin and President Roosevelt in Tehran, Iran, for a conference during World War II. In the Tehran conference, Winston Churchill got deathly ill. He had pneumonia. They thought he was dying. And the King of England sent for the top doctor in England, Dr. Fleming, that had discovered penicillin. Dr. Fleming comes over, treats Winston Churchill, gives him shots, gives him medicine, saves Winston Churchill's life. And Winston Churchill knew him and said, "This is the second time you saved my life." Because Fleming, the guy that invented penicillin, was the boy that had saved Winston Churchill from drowning. And the Churchill family paid his way through medical school to become a doctor. He saved Winston Churchill's life twice. Now, in a very real sense, Jesus has saved us twice. Number one, he has saved us from hell. He has saved us from sin. He has saved us from guilt. He has saved us from whatever stuff we'd have gotten into otherwise. So he has saved us from, but Jesus has also saved us to. We are saved to eternal life. We are saved to heaven. We are saved to joy and God's power helping us in this life. We really get saved twice, guys. We get saved from stuff, and we get saved to stuff, and we need to recognize both. When Jesus saves us, he does it all the way. He does it in the past. He does it in the present. He does it in the future. And you and I have a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so that's the hope we have. Lord, who hath believed our report? Number one, the report of the prophet. There's a gospel and there's a Savior. Number two, the requirement to believe, and people believe or don't believe. It's their choice. And the results of redemption are the blessing and the peace and the eternal life that God gives us through Jesus Christ.